to Freedom Fiends on station WFEEN, being simulcast on our sister station in Ohio, station WQUK, The Quack, in Ohio.
Quack. Yeah.
Yeah, I just posted a picture of my podcast setup taken moments ago with four computers running, one running Xubuntu Linux, the new version I like that really works, and a sidearm between two of the keyboards and mic setup. And Tyler Fleming posted, "Terrorist station, MQ-1 Predator incoming. Better close the window."
So you're using Ubuntu now. You got rid of your Mint Debian, huh?
Yeah.
See, I was always trying to say, do Ubuntu. You're like, no, Mint. It's fresh. And I was like, all right.
Whatever. You've done Ubuntu, huh?
Yeah, we did it at work when I worked for a very big e-commerce site doing tech support. They all switched us to Ubuntu.
I can see.
Everybody was all worried about it, and they were all like,
"You worked at Amazon." I can.
Everybody was like worried about it, like, "Oh no, it's going to be harder to do things." But it wasn't.
It's just like Windows, man.
Yeah, it was just like Windows.
Linux now. You know, there's this belief that Linux, like, you have to be a programmer to use it. No, I mean, a lot of the computers that they ship over to the third world countries to, you know, steal tax money to give to school children, they put Linux on them because they don't have to pay for it like they do with Windows or Mac.
Yep.
And,
yep,
you know, that's kids that, like, can barely read, let alone, like, you know, use Western technology, and they can use most, you know, new versions of Linux.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, worms. So what you been up to, man? Braving the cold Wyoming winter?
Yeah, it was 2 degrees here last night.
Nice.
Four degrees. I've been listening to lots of Blue Oyster Cult, and I thought you were going to be late because you weren't on until I told you to be on right at the hour, but I was like, oh, wait, isn't he on earlier?
Yeah. When you're on time for Michael, that's late. You have to be early to be considered on time for Michael.
I had a whole bunch of notes about Blue Oyster Cult that I was going to read and just tell stories about my tertiary connection with them over the years.
What's your tertiary connection? Oh,
I think I'll
One Housewife?
What?
Huh? Instead of 10,000 Maniacs, the
Did
One Housewife lady.
Did I say 10,000 Maniacs? I was Blue Oyster Cult I was thinking of.
I know, but I thought that was your connection. It was like she dug them and you dug her.
No, I insulted one of them in person in the recording studio, and then okay.
Yeah.
So we're going to call this episode Tyranny and Mutation after the record, the Blue Oyster Cult.
I kind of like doing nothing is better than doing evil.
I was thinking of saving that for Thursday because we can get more into it then without the interruptions. Oh,
okay. But, good point.
Yeah,
good
tyranny point. And mutation kind of goes along with the theory we came up with that politicians are a separate subspecies of human called Homo parasitis. So they have mutated through their tyranny. So we call this tyranny and mutation. But somebody's trying to add us on Skype. God, people call into our call-in show. It's so annoying.
Okay. It was your idea, or was it my idea?
It was Ian's idea. I like it.
Okay.
So yeah, Blue Oyster Cult. Their first record is amazing. I don't know if it's the first record. It's called Blue Oyster Cult by Blue Oyster Cult, and it has the song "Cities on Flame with Rock and Roll" that I named my band "Kitties on Flame with Rock and Roll" after. And my brother got it for me when I was like 10 when it first came out, and he is not hip enough to have come up with buying that. I think he went into a record store and said, "I have a weird little brother that likes loud music. What should I get him?" And it was really the first like dark, really heavy record I ever heard, and I played it until the grooves wore out.
Nice. But, what does it sound like when that happens? Does it just not play?
Yeah, analog distortion is something that young people don't really know much about unless they've DJed like you, so you know what it sounds like.
Well, I always DJed digitally. Like, I never had actual vinyl grooves. I sampled from actual vinyl. We used to house it, and this guy had this nice collection, and he was kind of an audiophile. He had like super fancy preamp or whatever, and receiver and speakers, and I would plug his RCAs into my MPC and sample vinyl and make beats out of it. So I understand how that analog distortion sounded. It wasn't super distorted, but you know that warm crackle that everybody loves so much.
You know, they had
which really is different. Like you can do that digitally, like in Cubase. There's a warmifier or whatever, and there's a thing that's
vinyl plugin.
Yeah, well, yeah, pretty much. There's actually a one of the knobs on it says, you know, 1930 or like 1830 or whenever the first phonograph was invented, and then the other end of it is, you know, current. And you turn it to see how, you know, it sounded throughout the the decades.
You know, there's a really good Free Talk Live the other day. They didn't talk about Liberty that much, which, you know, I like Liberty podcasts where they don't always talk about Liberty, which we often do, like we're doing now. And when we find the Liberty,
it's great when Liberty is the basic premise. Like, you start from Liberty, yeah, and then you can go in any direction, because statist media is, and that's why statism is ingrained in everybody's brain, because
I listened to the middle hour of this episode, so I didn't hear if they like introduced it with the Liberty angle or tied it up at the end. It was the middle of it was just, I loved it. It was, they were talking about technology that's no longer used because it's outmoded, or that some people still use. And I called in, mm-hmm, and I talked about tubes and how we use tube preamps.
Tubes.
And, the guy who called in after me said, I want to add to what your last caller, Nima Vedati, said. And Ian corrected him and said, oh, that was Michael Dean. And the guy said, ah, some fiend. And I don't even know who this guy was. And Ben Quaker said someone just signed up on his forum with the username FreedomFiend420, and no one knows who it is. So we're getting around.
Nice.
Yeah, Blue Oyster
Probably
Cult.
Probably Frank.
Blue Oyster Cult. So I think I've talked a little about, they were recording this record. When Bomb was recording our first record in 1986, engineered by Dave Bach, who now makes Dave Bach microphones, who been to his house a bunch, and he actually has a tube amp for his stereo, which is kind of a really old school thing to have these days. Like,
People still did that, though. I thought that it was one of the things where tubes still exist is in content producers like us, our preamps, and also, you know, super rich audiophiles who buy the best.
Usually not for play out though, that's even more rare. It's more common for people to have a tube preamp in the studio, which Ian had never heard of. Oh. Which intrigued me, although he knew what carts were. I said, did you play that Freedom Fiends bump from a cart? You know what a cart is?
Mm-mm.
In radio, before computers, you had the ads on these little looped cassette-type tapes about the size of an 8-track. Do you know what an 8-track tape is?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was mono, and it sounded like ads.
They had 30-second, 60-second, 90-second carts, and you'd put an ad on them. And when it's ad time, you'd pop it into the player, and it would queue it up automatically. So. But anyway, so Blue Oyster Cult, they were recording their after their like three or four amazing records, they kind of like broke up for a while and then got back to, or just, you know, they were doing a comeback record. And this is right before Nirvana came out and destroyed everything like that.
Destroyed everything with awesomeness.
Well, yeah. And, you know, actually, when you're into Nirvana, it's cool to still be into Blue Oyster Cult, but only their first three records. Because this record, they were in recording this record, Imaginos, which took 8 Coke-fueled years to record. It came out, it was panned by critics and fans. It didn't sell. The record company didn't want to release it. The band had to sue them to get it released.
Old days before SoundCloud pages.
Yeah, they were in the studio recording that record in the same studio, Hyde Street Studios, where Bomb was. We were in Studio A. They were in Studio C. They had the door open and we're recording vocals, and I wandered up there to have it, you know, one of the members of the band, one of the main members of the band, was out having a cigarette. Not Buck Dharma, the other guy. Eric, what's his name?
Eric Oyster.
Oh, we can't. Yeah. Eric, the guy with the glasses. But, he was out to have a cigarette, and I walked up to him and I was like, you know, I've recorded and mixed my whole band's record in the 3 days that you've been trying to do one line of lyrics and haven't finished. and I said,
I used to say shit like that all the time.
I did. And I said, I used to love you guys. I used to love you guys, but I don't love you guys anymore. I was probably the first fan to tell him that record sucked.
Wow.
You know, this was like 3 years into the 8 years of recording it.
You were like, man, China, you used to be cool.
I know. Yep. And then they're, producer, manager, Sandy Perlman, who is sort of parodied in that more cowbell thing. Like, Christopher Walken is basically playing Sandy Perlman. You know the thing, Saturday Night Live? More?
Oh, yeah. I got a fever, the prescription. Yeah. More cowbell.
Yeah, they call him something else there, but that's Sandy Perlman. And he wanted to come see Bomb because he was trying to get out of heavy rock, that kind of stuff, and wanted to produce punk rock. And he came to see us, wanted to be on the guest list, and Tony Fagg said, make him pay. So between those two things, we probably could have been huge, but we blew it with Blue Oyster Cult. More about Blue Oyster Cult and personal responsibility with Freedom Fiends coming back after this.
A science fiction comic adventure from Big Head Press. 25, 23. There are colonies on Venus, Mars, and Mercury. People travel in bubbles, fly at hyperspeed, with brain implants and artificial gravity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. Quantum Vibe. There's a robot girl and zany creatures made with genetically engineered features. And corporate villains crave the opportunity to steal a profit from mother's ingenuity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. QuantumVibe.com.
Did your world collapse when Ron Paul didn't win? Don't keep hoping for some great man to fix government through government. Complete your evolution today to full-on anarcho-capitalist. Reward your brain with the freedom beans and quit breaking your heart with some politician. While the libertarians argue,
but who would build the roads?
The freedom beans have already built the roads and moved on to making the great media content of the libertarian paradise. Freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
And back to the tyranny Freedom and Fiends Live is back.
Tyranny Mutation. Blue Oyster Cult are from Long Island. Mark Stevens is from Long Island.
Oh. Huh.
So is Patti Smith, though.
I think like a lot of people are probably from there, right? It's
well,
got like
it's
a population of a million.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. A million people who want the government to help them after a natural disaster, but probably think preppers should be thrown in jail. I saw a really, really offensive comment. Okay, I got to finish my Blue Oyster Cult thing. My wife hates Blue Oyster Cult, which is weird.
Really? She likes, even Don't Fear the Reaper? How can anybody hate Don't Fear the Reaper? It's got all that cowbell.
I know. I mean, she likes a lot of stuff from that era. She grew up in that era. But I asked her why, and she said, well, for one thing, you know, I said, did you have some traumatic childhood experience that made you hate them? Because she doesn't usually hate music. And she said, well, part of it was their audience. Like, everyone I knew in Texas who liked them was this unique Texas creature known as the stoner jock or the hippie jock.
Ah, yeah. Yeah. That's a thing.
And
I don't think that's unique to Texas, is it?
It was back then. When I was, everyone that listened.
I mean, playing football is awesome and smoking weed is awesome. So it seems to, you know, fit, right?
I think she and I both mean more like jock, not even necessarily having anything to do with ability to play sports. More of an attitude. Like you played sports and were not a jock. And there are people I call jocks who don't do sports.
Okay.
You know, it's just people who like want to kick ass and drink beer and F shit up.
It's people who are going to grow up to be conservatives.
Yeah. Or, you know, liberals. So, and I said, nah, there must be something more than that. And she's like, well, there is the time that I was listening to Blue Oyster Cult in my friend's rec room and a raccoon attacked me. And I'm like, okay, bingo.
What is this, an episode of Family Guy? I mean, come on.
That would have taken years for a psychiatrist to get through, but, you know, I know her in about 3 minutes. Yeah.
I didn't know that actually happened in real life. I thought that was a cartoon joke.
They'd actually rescued a baby raccoon and named him Rocky after the Beatles song. And they raised him from a kit, I think is the term for a small raccoon. At one point it had kind of reached puberty and, you know, it had confusing feelings and was full of testosterone and trying to prove itself in the world. And it latched onto the back of her head and like bit and clawed. And that's pretty Family Guy. So that's why she doesn't like Blue Oyster Cult. And she said also because they suck, but more cowbell.
Okay.
More raccoon. Yeah. So, I think I told the whole story, man. Yeah.
Okay.
That's a lot. It's a lot to begin. I was going to do a whole Anarchy Gumbo on that, like with myself, interviewing myself.
On Blue Oyster Cult.
Yeah. So I saw a really offensive, Boehner told the House GOP to fall in line and work with the Democrats. Like the guy who became the speaker by saying, we will never do what those horrible Democrats want to do and was elected to do that is now like, okay, get in line.
Yeah.
I think he's trying to turn Republicans into anarchists, the one that Ron Paul didn't already do that for by just showing them the ridiculousness of representatives.
I doubt his intentions are that pure at all. Well, I'm sure his intentions are pure, but I'm sure they're pure
evil. I think
that's
going to be the unintended consequence. I
hope so. I hope so.
So Ron Paul, I've been predicting, is going to come out as an anarchist. He's gotten a lot closer in the past.
We've been predicting. I predicted it first, I think.
Okay. We did.
Whatever.
It's going to be a good blog post when he finally does it. I mean, he quotes Rothbard on the floor. But
In
USA Today this week, he said, I think people have had enough of me. I do not have much confidence in the political system and never did.
I saw that. That was awesome. Yeah.
Yep. And he did an interview on Alex Jones yesterday where he was even going further than that. And he talked about how there were 12 million less voters this time than in the last presidential election.
Nice. I didn't hear his Alex Jones interview. But I was reading on Lou Rockwell, and Lou was hinting at the fact that Ron was going to have a bigger platform than even his congressional post from which to speak the virtues of liberty from. So I don't know what they're planning, but hopefully it's something huge. Sometimes they like to pimp their stuff, and it's not that big.
I think he's going to become a cast member on Jersey Shore, it sounds like to me.
That'd be awesome.
He should be a judge on America's Got Talent.
Maybe he'll start his own anarchist cable TV news network station, like we've been wanting somebody to do forever.
Yeah. Well, you know, Alex Jones actually said something that I agreed with for once in that interview. He said, people given up on voting. Americans are voting now by buying 5 million guns a month.
Nice. I've always said, man, I mean, that's your real vote, is what you spend your money on and what you put your support against. I mean, because you do that on a minutely basis or an hourly basis, whereas you get to vote, what, once every 2 to 4 years?
Yeah.
Two for some things, you know.
And it's different for different states. It's a binary vote, too. You know, we talked about that
before. It's off or on. Right, yeah. Right. It's so much less nuanced.
It's left boot on your nuts or right boot on your nuts.
Right. That's it.
You know, we've always been looking for the word, for the name, for like what we are. Somebody came close in a thing about that. Jared LaBelle commented on my thread about the Ron Paul interview, or how Ron Paul's inching more towards coming out of the closet as a full-on anarchist. And he said, Ron Paul has inspired so many anarchists, voluntarists, agorists, etc. in the galaxy of libertarian hyphens. I like the galaxy of libertarian hyphens. I think that could be an episode title.
That would be great.
Galaxy of libertarian hyphens. But I saw this really offensive comment. It was there was an article. Some Texas state congressman is talking about secession openly now. And it was on Huffington Post. And one of the comments said, I think we need to round these people up and put them in mental hospitals, and it'll stimulate the economy with construction and healthcare jobs.
Wow. Like he's quoting Stalin or Mao with that. That's crazy.
I told Ben Quaker that on the phone. He's like, there's so many things wrong with that. You know, it's like, it's broken window, and oh my God, those people are sane. We must stop that from spreading.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah, that's disgusting. I do like, though, you said Ron Paul mentioned 12 million less voters. I've seen that a lot lately. That's going around. Ben Stone did a whole cast on, you know, the good news. And the good news was basically people not participating in the political system anymore. And that was sort of one of the examples, is the voting rates. And then I like how a lot of people I've been listening to and reading on Facebook, everybody's been pointing out the fact that, hey, you know, this isn't a mandate. The American people didn't vote for Obama. Half of the people who actually voted for Obama.
Yeah,
he's the leader of that 60 million portion of Americans.
Even if
America's 311 million, you know, there's so few people.
Even if those people who didn't vote still, you know, aren't full-on anarchist. I mean, they probably just are, like, apathetic, which is better to me.
It's closer.
Which,
yeah.
You know, you wanted to call this title Doing Nothing is Better Than Doing Evil, and I think those people are an example of that. There's so many good possibilities for episode titles here. Another one, Prohibition is a Child's View of Morality, which is a line on a recent Boardwalk Empire. It's spoken by... He's an actual person, but he didn't actually say this. But it's kind of like they use real, like Al Capone is a character in Boardwalk Empire. you know, Andrew Mellon was the Mellon in Carnegie Mellon, the industrialist, and he was extreme. He was a bootlegger, and he was extremely against the income tax, which was new then, and he said it was unconstitutional. But he said, "Prohibition is a child's view of morality." I love that.
Yeah, I love that too. Let's explore that more. Right now, we've got to go sell a few things. So stick with us, and we'll have plenty more fiends coming up.
Worms.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Welcome back, folks. This is Freedom Fiends Live. You can also check out our archives on freedomfiends.com. That's F-E-E-N-S, fiends. Freedom, you know, like the fiends. Real way you're supposed to say fiends.
Yes.
Check us out.
Echo,
and today is
Echo November Sierra.com.
Right. Exactly. That whole thing. And today is November 11th, 2012, also known as Learn How to Defend Yourself Instead of the State Day in Fiend Speak.
You mean VD? Veterans Day? Happy VD. Valentine's Day, too. Hey, you were talking in the break about Futurama. I noticed something interesting on Futurama the other day on a new episode.
What's that?
You know the new show on there, V2 News? It kind of looks like Fox. It's a bobbleheaded blonde.
No, it's Square Root of Two News.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
And the other anchor is like some big green monstrous alien.
Morbo. Yes.
Morbo. They have a new motto. It's... Square Root of Two News. News you can fear. Which I think should be the motto of every mainstream news company out there.
That's the subtext. I mean, that's pretty much all it is. Yeah.
Maybe that should be a category. Great. We should have that as a category on Freedom
News You
blog.
Can Fear. Because we have fear. News you can use already. So News You Can Fear
I'm gonna
could be
add
the companion.
That. I'm going to just steal some time from the fiends and do that right
do
now.
Do it now.
While you tell a story that I don't want you, I don't care about, but go ahead.
I was going to go off on Morbo since you brought it up. I think Morbo's hilarious. He's the green monster that reads the news on, Square Root of Two News. There's this scene where, they're at some big party, and what Morbo always says is, "I will destroy you," to people when he's on the news. And his wife is like,
is that his wife?
Wiping.
Oh, his wife's
no,
an alien.
No.
That's
his wife's an alien, and she's like wiping his face and like straightening his bow tie and stuff. And he's like, stop it. I will destroy you. I could just see somebody
he's
saying
basically,
that to
the wife. It's basically the inner child of every politician except Ron Paul.
Exactly. okay. I'm guessing the story you didn't want me to tell was,
you want to talk about Lincoln. I don't really care.
We've talked
about him so many times, man. We talked about how he's a tyrant. He killed Americans. He wasn't a hero. He hated black people.
I know.
Go ahead.
But it's
go ahead
out
so
again,
I can
you know?
Use my new tagline from 30.
There's
Rock.
That there's that new Spielberg movie that's all on his nuts about the 14th Amendment and how the Spielberg movie makes it seem like Lincoln worked so hard behind the scenes to get this done, but really it's the opposite. Like he didn't want to do it, and other politicians and abolitionists sort of forced him into it.
Nima.
Yeah.
That's a nice story, Jack, but I don't hear my name in it. That's a Jenna Maroney line for 30 Rock.
When I was ignoring Michael and at an oyster bar, I saw on CNN...
A blue oyster bar?
Yeah, it was a blue oyster and red crawfish, mud bugs. We were grubbing on some dead animals. And CNN comes
Insects
on...
Insects of the sea.
Yes. CNN comes on and they got, this B-roll of an Abraham Lincoln impersonator, like shaking hands with Obama and being all buddy-buddy. Yeah, and I'm
he
like,
would kill
dude.
Obama. He would enslave him, man. He did not like black people. What's his quote about black people? He said, like, no Negro should ever have the vote. That's a Lincoln quote.
Yeah. In fact, I have the actual quote verbatim that I wanted to read for people, because we're always going off. Yeah, he was a racist. He hated people.
Right. Go ahead and prove it.
That's paraphrasing. We're going to prove it. This is a direct quote from a debate with Douglas in Charleston, Illinois on September 18th, 1858. You can verify this for yourself.
It's on the internet. It must be true.
Well, I'm sure it's in some kind of national debate record or something, too. Check it out. This is what Lincoln said. I will say then that I am not nor have ever been in favor of bringing about in any way the social and political equality of the white and black races. That I am not nor ever have been in favor of making voters or jurors of Negroes, nor of qualifying them to hold office, nor to intermarry with white people. And I will say in addition to this that there is a physical difference between the white and black races, which I believe will forever forbid the two races living together on terms of social and political equality. And inasmuch as they cannot so live, while they do remain together, there must be a position of superior and inferior. And I, as much as any other man, am in favor of having the superior position assigned to the white race.
Wow.
Abraham Lincoln, folks.
And you know, he did include hold office in there, but he didn't say become president. He just would have fainted at the thought of that.
That's the highest office, right?
Local office. Yeah.
Yeah. His office. this man that said to the public that black people should never hold office would never shake hands with President Obama. So CNN playing this B-roll.
Yeah.
He wouldn't shake hands. He wouldn't allow him in the White House. So I think we have to combat this. Exactly. Abraham Lincoln would be like, what kind of house is this, Mr. President?
He wouldn't call him Mr. President.
Yeah, he wouldn't. He wouldn't. Boy, he called him boy.
Boy,
yeah.
Abraham Lincoln killed more Americans than Hitler. Than Hitler did in World War II. Absolutely.
Yeah, he did. He did. He was a bastard. He was a bastard, and he was a racist, and he only used the Emancipation Proclamation as a war strategy to help disrupt the South. And it was only in the South, and he excluded Southern territories that the Union Army had taken, like West Virginia. It didn't apply to slaves there. They were still slaves. He basically did it so that slaves would run away and feel like they could join the Union Army or fight back against their slave masters, which is cool. I mean, that's what should happen. But he didn't do it because he had any kind of heart for black people or social equality. He did it because he wanted to win a war of aggression against the South.
Okay, I've added news you can fear as a category in the Freedom Fiends blog.
Nice, nice. So that's all I had to say about Lincoln. I was at the bar, and I said something like to that effect when we were at the Oyster Bar, and the wife was like, shh, don't say things like that out loud. People don't know those kind of things. And I'm like, well, they should. They should. So I can say it on the Fiends because this is my private property. Fiends. I said it. Mm.
Yeah. So really, you didn't say that at the party?
No, I did. I said it out loud, and then my wife was like, no, don't say those things.
Someone in Poland is downloading Gun Training with Non-Aggression Principle and Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. On our torrent site. Oh, there's a new torrent up people should check out. Go to the Freedom Fiends blog and look at the torrent link over on the right, top right, or go to freedomfiends.com and click on Torrent Club at the top, and it'll tell you where to go to look for our new torrents. There's a new torrent up that's all the Freedom Fiends art, everything we've ever had, like all sorts of t-shirt designs, button designs, bumper sticker designs, etc. High-res versions of them. Released Creative Commons in a 60 meg zip of like 100 and some files that you can do whatever you want with. You could make t-shirts and sell them and not give us money, and you have our permission to do that.
But, not even tell us. Like, the reward would be that somebody out there is wearing it.
We'd like it if you told us, and if you do make a bunch of money, we'd like a donation, but you don't have to. So really, like, you can go get rich off the Freedom Fiends using this stuff, and we would.
And if you do, tell us how we can do the same.
Yeah, because we haven't figured it out yet. Well, we haven't figured it out because neither of us really want to hustle people. But you know, we're busy.
Yeah, that was never my thing. That was never my thing. I know a guy who's into sales who's my good friend here. Maybe I should outsource it to him.
Fiend phone.
All right, put him on commission.
There you go.
Hello, Fiend. Who's this?
Hello.
Hello. Who is this? You're on the air.
Yes, Ross in Arizona.
Hi, Ross.
Oh, what's
up? Hey, we know you. What's up, Ross?
Hey, not much, guys. I got two things. Would you like? I got something about James Bond, and then I got a pee. Which do you want first?
The second one was you've got to pee. Did you say?
No, a beef.
Oh, go with the beef first.
All right, a beef. All of us are already pretty good with guns and defense and prepping. But what's been bothering me over like the more year, 1, 2, 3 years now is like this whole zombie thing.
I hate it.
It's bothering me for years, and now it's pissing me off.
Well, it's become like a mainstream thing, but I think it's PC. I think it's a way for gun people and non-gun people, but especially gun people, to like visualize having to shoot their neighbor if he's crazed and trying to break in and rape him and kill him, without actually internalizing, I might have to shoot a human. That's what I think. I think it's politically correcting self-defense.
I agree completely.
Yeah, it's a coping mechanism. I just went down to Bass Pro to get some Mosin Nagant ammo and stuff. And
nice.
Like even the kids' toys now are like they got the airsoft and it's like zombie targets and stuff. And they have like 380 auto zombie load. I hate it because I hate these suburban survivalists because they think they're special, just like everybody. You're special, just like everybody else, and you're gonna survive. But I hate it because they want to survive, but I don't think that they've earned the right to survive because they haven't been laying the philosophical or.
Yeah, but I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it because they're closer than they were, and I'd rather they're prepping than not prepping and have guns and come rob me when the time comes.
Want to contribute to liberty, but short on. Okay, yeah. We're in break now, but let's keep
them on to the break.
Let's keep rolling.
We're recording this for the archives. Keep going.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm glad that people are catching on and defending themselves, but it just really ticks me off because it's so transparent that it's just a coping mechanism for them to believe that. Without even just admitting how the country got to the way it is.
Yeah.
Can we just have that discussion before, like, this is basically making a PC term for shooting our neighbors?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely get where you're coming from, and I kind of feel the same way too, but at the same time, I think there is something to be said for, you know, maybe this is how we get them there. Maybe they need this sort of training wheel because these kind of people are childish in a sense. You know, they're in a state of arrested development, and this is a very childish thing to have these fantasies about the zombie apocalypse instead of actually realizing that the collapse could happen because of real humans doing really evil things. As long as people are prepping, that's a good thing, right? I mean, they don't have the philosophical groundwork, but maybe that can come later. Maybe once they start to prep, they start to read prepper sites, and then they can sort of catch on to the philosophy.
Yeah, it's true. And I'm all ready to go to like defend myself and stuff, but I really don't have a boner for shooting people. I think a lot of these people that are like all hard for zombies, they're going to realize after about 10 minutes that, oh, wow, this sucks. My other thing was I went to go see James Bond. Should I wait till the commercial comes back?
Go ahead and go off on it. We've still got like 3 minutes before we're back on live and we're still recording and I don't even think Michael's there to press the stop record. So, haven't seen the new James Bond, but I heard is there like a statist moral to it or what, do you have beef with it or was it good?
Yeah. Well, I don't have a beef. I'm just going to like basically say what we probably already all expected is that, it's a statist meme, the James Bond thing. And I'm not going to give away anything that wouldn't be given away from a YouTube preview here, but essentially it's all about cyber terrorism and how, you know, basically laying the groundwork for, you know, internet guilt, which just like that last Die Hard movie, you know, and stuff like that. But what really blew me away actually is the level of perspective that from a status sense of how they view the new wars, the new century. And it actually touches on, I'm just starting to read Butler Schaefer's new book about the collapse of Western civilization.
Awesome. Is it good? I love Butler Schaefer. How's that going?
It's good. He's a really nice guy too. He pretty much breaks it down in that the new wars going forward are basically not going to be between states, but basically the state and the individual.
Yeah.
And how basically the war on terror is simply a war on individuals. And Mm-hmm. I guess I can read two sentences here that he says, if you want. He says, as this war continues, those of us who persist in conducting our lives outside institutional walls, or who continue to use the internet as though it were a tool by which free minds communicate with one another, or who insist upon the privacy of our lives and business transactions, will discover ourselves thrown into the new suspect class of terrorists.
Yeah,
and that's what this James Bond movie is all about now. It's basically Judi Dench, she's on the stand in front of Parliament, and he basically says,
Hold that thought. We're going to be coming back live, and we'll have you start off with that thought. We got like 2 seconds.
Okay.
All right. And we're back live. We actually held the caller over. Go ahead and listen to the archives. There was some great stuff during the break there. We're talking right now about the new James Bond movie, and basically the way it's getting people prepared mentally for the fact that the new war front is cyber warfare, and it's not states versus states anymore. It's the states versus individuals.
Well, I'd also look at the state. You know, those movies are like, could be used by the government to scare people into thinking we need more, you know, protectionism on the internet.
Right.
Exactly. And that's what this this new James Bond is all about, is that MI6, they say, is antiquated. But what happens is this movie, the new guy, he like basically stabs, you know, the government where they're not looking. And Judi Dench is able to say, I told you so, you need us. And and it's all about cyber secrecy and vulnerability. And then, yeah, like verbatim, she says, the new wars will be in the shadows, without a flag, without badges.
Ooh.
And and that's what in Butler Schaefer's book, his new book about the Wizards of Ozymandias, he says, the attack on the Twin Towers can be thought of metaphorically as the individual attacking the vertical hierarchy. And what is the Twin Towers is a symbol of vertical integration.
Yeah.
So, and that's what, I think that's what the new century of war is going to be all about, is, is about the attack on the individual this.
I think so too. And I don't think people have caught on to that yet as much as they should. Scott Horton interviewed a professor at University of Madison or University of Wisconsin-Madison. I think his last name was McCoy. I forget his first name. But he was talking about how now cyber. Yeah, Dr. McCoy. I don't know his first name. But he was talking about how the cyber warfare realm is actually now considered a whole realm, just as air, naval, or ground war. You know, the U.S. military considers that its own domain now and is pushing resources toward it as such. And also, you know, with the way they're weaponizing space as well, he thinks that what's going to happen is you're going to have this seamless integration between surveillance on the individual, facial recognition, and the ability to strike anywhere in the world with robots and death almost instantaneously. And that's sort of where things are going. And he points out that in the foreign policy debate, Obama hinted at this. Like Mitt Romney said something about how, you know, we have less battleships in the Navy than since 1917 or something. And Obama was like laughing at him, looked at him like a child and was like, it's not about that anymore. It's about, you know, cyber warfare. So I think you're definitely right that that's where it's going, is it's the state against us, and they will use technology to achieve their nefarious ends.
Is this the silver dime card, Ross?
Yes, Mike.
Cool.
One other joke. The preview to the 007, there was a preview for Red Dawn. I have not seen it yet. At one portion of the preview, it says, there are portions of the Western United States which are no longer occupied by the United States government. And I said to myself a little too loudly, I go, it's about time. And five people around me laughed, actually.
Nice. See, there you go.
Also, during James Bond in the casino, he gets like a briefcase full of like 400 million euros, and they pop it open, and I start laughing, and like four other guys around me start laughing too, because they're euros.
Yeah, like big freaking deal.
No, you're laughing not because big freaking deal, but because they're not dollars now, right?
Yeah, no, I'm laughing because they're anything fiat. whatever. Okay. You know? But anyway, so anecdotally, it is nice to see people actually, I think people are out there starting to get it. So.
Cool.
I'll end on a positive note there.
All right, man. Thanks for calling. Anytime.
Yeah, see you guys.
Bye.
All right. Peace and worms.
Peace and worms. But without the government, who would pick the worms?
That's another worm pickers.
Another possible title.
Yeah.
I just sent you a picture I just made. Check it out.
Okay. Did you send it on the Facebooks or on the Gmails?
Yeah. I sent it to you on the Gmails.
Ah, kfine.fm or -fm. Nice.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take a panoramic of my new setup too.
This is not a panoramic, but your room isn't big enough for to need a panoramic. You can take it all in one shot.
Yeah, it is because it's cornered.
Yeah, this is not a panorama. Panorama is five times as wide as this, the one I made.
Okay.
Yeah, it includes cool beans, the other man. Computer at the other end of the room.
Is the handgun in there? Is that your Glock?
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
1.21 gigawatts, someone says. Nice. Yeah.
Score, man. Score. But yeah, the government is going to be attacking you through cyberspace and through space itself. So
I was
going to
say nice story, but I don't hear my name in it. But you said you, so it's okay. So Janet Napolitano is about to become Attorney General. Hillary's out. Do you know about this? Well,
Hillary wasn't Attorney General. She was Secretary of State.
I mean,
Holder. Holder was Attorney General.
Holder's leaving, Napolitano is probably going to take her place. Hillary's out. Who knows? Who could possibly be worse, but there will be somebody. Yeah. Timothy Geithner is out. Who knows who could possibly be worse? I mean, maybe Chavez will take Geithner's place.
Actually, in the Washington Post article on this, they were mentioning some person who used to be president or vice president of Goldman Sachs or something. So meet the new boss, same as the old boss kind of thing. Susan Nora Johnson, former vice chairman of Goldman Sachs. So
put the looters in charge of preventing looting.
Well, I'm pretty sure Geithner was also mucky muck in Goldman Sachs too. So Petraeus, no real difference.
Petraeus quit as CIA chief because of an affair that ended a year ago that only came out after the election and right before he's about to testify about Benghazi.
Yeah. I think the Benghazi was probably what really cinched it. I doubt he gave a crap about the affair. As far as he was just using that as an excuse, because for some reason the American populace is too, I guess, I don't even know what the word is, but they won't accept people leaving because of moral problems with, you know, the policies, because they don't even know what the policies are in the first place. It takes some kind of sex scandal. I mean, look at Bill Clinton, right? I mean, the dude was doing horrible things policy wise, but nobody goes to impeach him until he gets a blowy from an intern. I guess that's just how you have to sell leaving, you know. I don't know if I'm looking through rose-colored glasses, but I feel like in the good old days, you know, people could resign over, you know, disagreements with a philosophy or a policy of an institution they were working for. I don't agree with that.
Bands always say they break up because creative differences. It's usually because of money and drugs, but...
So in bands, it's the opposite.
Do you know about this meme, Joan the Silencer?
Yeah, I saw that. I didn't actually see where it originated from, but
I'll send you the picture.
I get what it is. No, I've seen the picture. I get what it is. I just didn't see the video where she's actually putting the paper in front of the guy's mouth.
Well, I have a still from that. Have you seen the picture?
I've seen the picture, but I haven't seen like the video where she did it the first time. I've only seen the photoshops of people making the new actual ones.
Well, it's at the Texas Republican National Convention. Where a delegate named Joan, some gray-haired, cranky old Texan lady, is holding a stack of papers between a microphone and some young guy's mouth who's about to announce support for Ron Paul.
I want to know how it played out. Like, did she sit there and hold it the whole time, or did he push the bulldike away from him?
I added to our glossary definition on horizontal enforcement at the suggestion of a Fiend fan.
I mean, if she did that to me, I would feel justified in kicking her behind the knee so she fell down, kind of a thing. I would just
grab the mic and mic control and hold it at arm's length. And I'm sure that big burly Texan behind him could have helped too. I just sent you the picture by have to tell you what network I send things on. We've got so many channels open right now.
Yeah, yeah. What a bee, Joan the Silencer, Paper Joan,
like bitch, but also. Bzzz.
What a bee. What she a, should go what a mosquito. Get Hillary Clinton to sit on her face and shut
the fuck
up.
I thought they sprayed
up.
For mosquitoes in Texas.
They do in some places.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah. Screw that lady, man. Paper Joan. Why you Paper know that peeps Joan. Talk?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Worms and various things.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All that stuff happened, and then things happened, and then we talked about them on the fiends.
Nice story, but I don't hear my name in that, Jack. Here's a good one. This is about how stupid people are. Applebee's.
I hate Applebee's. Family,
well, yeah, but, you know.
Screw Apple.
I respect their... I recognize their right to exist.
You respect their hustle.
Yeah. As they say in international politics, I respect their right to exist.
You recognize their existence.
Yeah, I recognize their right to exist. They said that they're going to have to lay off a bunch of people for Obamacare because they can't afford it with Obamacare. Hmm. And people are boycotting them because of that. And I'm like, it's not that we hate your God. It's that your God hates our money. You know, it's yeah. God wants our money.
Yeah. People who have that religious love of Obama don't get that, though, because he's Obama. He can do no wrong. We'll have more fiends coming up here soon for worms.
Is it already time?
Have you swallowed too much of the state's poison? The Freedom Fiends will stick their fingers down your throat and hold your hair back while you hurl. Check out the new show, The Freedom Fiends Agenda, on Adam Curry's No Agenda Global Radio. Streaming live every Thursday from 3:30 to 5:30 p.m. East Coast U.S. time. The Freedom Fiends Agenda is Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati's fun and feisty chat about market anarchy, self-defense, real money, the digital police state, activism, DIY media, sex pets, and rock and roll. Call in soon before they get droned. Live studio number 307-215-5171 or via Skype to username kittyfeet1. Listen live at nagradio.com. That's nagradio.com. The Freedom Fiends from freedomfiends.com.
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to loll at?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
Freedom Fiends.
Yeah. You like that?
There's a German opera by Wagner called Die Fiend.
The Fiends.
Die Fiend, which means the fairies. No, Fiend is plural fairies. We're the fairies. Yeah. Die Fiend.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's us, man.
Somebody got on us at the last show. Someone was bitching about... It was a complaint I'd never heard about owning too many guns.
In the chat room.
Yeah, they said on our other show has a chat room on Thursdays on the Curry Network. Yeah. They said that's rampant consumerism, and I was like, so. And you said something great. What did you say about that?
I said that's not rampant consumerism to buy what you want. That's what creates wealth, is you trading money that you want less for something you want more. I mean, wealth is people having what they want most. So you create wealth when you go out and buy things you like. And not only do you get wealthier, but the company would much rather have your money than a bunch of inventory laying around in a warehouse somewhere. So the essence of the economy is buying what you want. It's not rampant consumerism.
I can definitely agree with that as someone who has about 300 Freedom Fiends buttons in a drawer that are slowly getting sold and you can buy
them.
Yes,
we would much rather have the money than those Fiends buttons, wouldn't we?
We'll do a 2-for-1. If you order one pack of buttons this week from the Freedom Fiend site, you'll get 2 packs of buttons. You'll get 8 for the price of 4, which is 8 buttons for $6 with shipping. That's pretty good. So I spent a lot of money on microphones, which someone could say is rampant consumerism. But it not only helps the economy of the people that sell the microphones and helps me because I like them. It helps the fiends, the listeners, because in our endless pursuit for the best radio sound ever, microphones is a part of it. And I do a lot of blog posts on them. and tell people to buy stuff and tell them recommendations, and I save them money. They don't have to go buy all the stuff. I do tests. I upload examples. And yesterday, you know, we got a bunch of Amazon cash coming because Ben Quaker ordered, I can't say everything he ordered on Amazon because he probably doesn't want people to know, but he ordered over $1,000 worth of stuff and used our affiliate link. So in 2 months, we'll have $70 of Fiends cash.
Yes.
Which I'm going to start.
I feel like we should return the favor. Next time I do a big Amazon purchase, I'll use his affiliate link. And
I can't,
and on like that.
You can't use each other's, but
right. And but that helps to create wealth too, right? I mean, everything you do like that, when that's how wealth is created, right? And you do an important thing for the market when you buy microphones, because like you said, you rate and review them. You save other people the work in doing that. And so they get what they want without having to waste their money on inferior products. So that also leads to better products because the inferior ones get weeded out because they don't get sold.
Yeah.
That's how the market works. It's not rampant consumerism. That's human desires. You know, Ben Stone said something on his cast the other day that defined the market. And this is what we need to push. You know, instead of saying the free market like it's some magical thing, all the market is true human desires. It's what human beings want most. That's the market working. It's what you want, you're going to go get it. Whereas on the opposite end of the spectrum, politics is what one person wants other people to have.
I saw a good example
of what you want.
I saw a good example of Christian ideas or religious ideas becoming political and legal and interfering with commerce the other day. I was watching this movie, The Executioner Song, which is about the killer. He's played by Tommy Lee Jones. Gary Gilmore, was that his name? DJ, what was his name? Yeah, the guy that was shot. He killed a couple people in Utah, was on death row for a while, was finally executed, wanted to be executed, and wanted to be shot at the firing squad. And like the ACLU fought to not have him shot.
Ah, I remember
that's why
story.
He was famous. He's played by Tommy Lee Jones, young Tommy Lee Jones in this movie. It's from 1982.
Why would the ACLU deny the man his dying wish?
Exactly. and he's played by a young, his girlfriend's played by a young Rosanna Arquette, who's naked in several scenes in this movie.
Ooh.
But there's a quick shot in the movie where he's in a general store and there's a bunch of guns for sale in this general store. And there's a sign that says no gun sales on Sunday, which was apparently a law in Utah, or may still be. I don't know. But
Are you sure it wasn't just the company's policy? Well, I guess not, because then they wouldn't be. Huh?
Yeah. So
I wonder if that is a law. There's laws like that in Texas we call blue laws. Like you can't buy beer before noon on a Sunday. And it's really,
you know, annoying. Executioner Song was one of Tony Fagg's favorite movies. The drummer from Bomb, who I don't talk to anymore, which is indicative of like why that guy's broken. I mean, he really related with the character, this killer played by Tommy Lee Jones. And I think he got some of his like swagger and manner of speaking and dealing with people from this character. This fictionalization of a real killer. The execution scene at the end of that is pretty brutal and realistic, and firing squad, mind-blowing, with everybody in the room where the bullets are being fired. I would not be in a concrete room where four 30-06s are being shot at a concrete wall, even if there are sandbags between the body and the wall.
Yeah, no thank you.
Yep, so an interesting thing about the Gary Gilmore story. Was it Gary Gilmore? No, it wasn't Gary Gilmore. Who was it, DJ? Come on, help me out here. Was it Gary Gilmore? Interesting thing about that movie is when they said, "Do you have any last words?" before they shot him. It's Gary Gilmore. His last words were just let's do it. Like, let's get this over with. Mm-hmm. Nike used a variation of that. Just do it. Which was, you know, I learned that from this movie I saw called Art and Copy, which is available on DVD from Netflix. Amazing, amazing movie about modern advertising. It goes into when advertising really came onto its own, at least on TV. It was when I was a kid. Like the 70s through about 10 years ago was the golden age of modern advertising. And, you know,
why does it stop? What signals it's
here's
ends
my theory of why
age.
It stopped. I mean, because commercials, they're occasionally good now, but they used to be really brilliant and memorable. And, often didn't even show the product. I mean, Where's the Beef didn't. You know, the Super Bowl Apple commercial that introduced the computer that had the mouse and the graphical user interface, the 1984 one directed by Ridley Scott. You know, basically, all these advertisers they interviewed on this, all these great famous advertisers who came up with every slogan I remember as a kid, they really came off to me as like hippies who were capitalists, which is an interesting combination. And I think that a lot of the people now that go into advertising hate capitalism and have an idea of like rampant consumerism is bad, mm-hmm. but they go to art school because they're artists. They get an art degree. The only job they can get is advertising. So they go into advertising hating commerce. I think that's what's wrong with it right now.
Maybe. Yeah, you may be right about that. But hippie capitalist, I mean, that's kind of close to anarcho-capitalist, isn't it? I mean,
Steve Jobs is the
capitalism without the violence.
Yeah.
That's what we want is capitalism without the violence.
And a lot of the advertising back then, like now the advertising just kind of tries to dangle the product in front of your face like a severed head, to quote Steve Albini. But back then...
Well, now I feel like advertising is all about giving you that feel goodiness, right?
Yeah.
Like this is green and this is sustainable.
And other buzzwords. Yeah.
Yeah, other buzzwords.
I mean, back then it defined products. Like they talked about how Tommy Hilfiger was like, was unknown as a designer. And they did a campaign like saying he's the next Calvin Klein, he's the next so-and-so. Like, and he was embarrassed by it. He's like, I can't live up to that. And the ads came out and just like propelled him to the point where he suddenly had to improve his product as a response. And mm-hmm. like, is some of it even defined like the world? I mean, the me generation basically came from advertising, from like the Pepsi generation, the, you know, it's about me, the Clairol hair color mm-hmm. ads of like, you know, it helps me be me, those were all written by a woman in the 70s. And it was like, somebody said to her, like, you invented the me generation. And she said, no, I just recognized it and pointed it out to people, which is what advertising used to do. You know?
Exactly. I was just about to say that. Yeah. The best advertising takes what the market wants and puts it into words that will make you want the product and think that the product. So what they're really doing is recognizing what people want the most and then showing you that and being like, hey, we came up with this. You know, it was our idea. So buy our product.
Yeah. And back then, advertisers actually like worked with the company to define the product. Like one of the first ones was Braniff Airlines. Like before that, all airplanes and air
travel. That's a real thing? Are you talking about the thing at the end of every South Park episodes? It's like Braniff, believe it. That's a real airline.
Yeah, it was like before that, like air travel was like military. Like it was gray, you were in a big tube, and like the advertising company for them said, hire pretty women to be stewardesses, put nice clothing on them, paint the planes blue, you know? I mean, basically before that, like the copy person and the art person were never in the same room. And in the 60s, they put them in the same room. And that was the beginning of modern advertising.
Awesome. Speaking of, we'll have morphine. Some coming up.
We'll have some morphine. Morphine.
Some advertising, actually.
Yes. Ads are great.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. We have Freedom Fiends, Anarchy Gumbo, and two designs for Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $6 for 4 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons. We're not saying the Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one. If you want to put your voluntarist money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. The Freedom Fiends. We work hard, so send us some money.
This is Freedom Fiends Live. If you're listening to us on K-Quack, is that what it is?
It's the Quack or the Quake.
The Quack.
In Ohio.
Yeah, out there on the radio waves in Ohio and you accidentally found us, what I want you to do is look at your latest paycheck. You know, Friday was a few days ago or a week ago, you know, if you got paid the week before. Look at your paycheck and total up the money taken out for taxes and think of anything else in the world that you would pay that much money for a month. You know, a car or your cable bill or whatever, how much ever you pay for taxes. And just think that all that money is going to these goons in D.C. Do you really want to be paying them that money? Do you feel like you're getting the most bang for your buck or any bang for your buck at all? Do you feel like it's worth it to pay that money? Don't think of it as they took it out. And they're going to give it back to you. Just think if you were paying that, like if you had to write a check. Imagine that. Freaking ridiculous.
K-Quack.
And then listen to the Fiends.
K-Quack, the most powerful station in the Tri-Yard area.
Actually, it's decently powerful. You were telling me, weren't you?
I don't know what you're talking about, man. I have no knowledge. I have no useful information.
No, fair enough. Fair enough.
You know, there's a article I wrote that you might want to read, though. It's called How to Start Your Own Liberty Radio Station. You can search that on Google or Freedom Fiends for $250, which is probably about what they take out of your check in a week or in 2 weeks.
I mean, I guess it depends on how much money you make, but
it out through inflation too, really, if you think about it, you know.
Yeah, through inflation, through I always used to say sales tax was what rankled me the most, and it still does. But I was probably saying that when I when I clicked the button to not withhold any tax on my tax form, and so I wasn't withholding anything, and that was really nice.
But then you owed a bunch. They said.
And then I owed a bunch. So yeah. I wanted to see how that felt because the withholding was an evil thing invented by Milton Friedman. You people who think he's some kind of free marketeer, he's not. He invented that so that people would be less upset. Yeah. He invented the idea of withholding, saying that if you withhold the money regularly, people won't notice it, and then they'll be very happy.
Wasn't
he? I think it was under Nixon. Yeah,
he was a guy that people kind of think is libertarian economist, but. Yeah, I didn't know he invented.
He did some good things. Like he was also
some Keynesian government policies, but he worked. Nixon.
He was instrumental. He was instrumental in getting rid of the draft. Again, I don't think that he had the best of intentions.
He probably wrote a white paper saying, you know, we can get rid of the draft and all these hippies will shut up if we just ruin the economy through withholding tax to where they have to join the army.
Maybe it was part of his grand unified theory, but I don't think it was. I think that he worked for the government. You know, he was an advisor or whatever, or at least he worked in the furtherment of the government. And so what he did was he would come up with strategies that maybe seem free market to some people, but a lot of times
a negative income tax, which is if you don't make enough money, the government gives you money. He's really confused guy, man.
He's a D-bag, and it seems like everything he did was trying to increase the power of the state, or at least make to lube up that butthole so it doesn't feel like the state's fucking you as hard. Is kind of what I feel like.
Fiend phone.
None of that language.
Fiend phone.
The cake doesn't phone. Like it. Mm. Hello, okay. Fiend. You're on the air. Who is this?
Hey, Michael. This is Lou. How you doing, Nima?
What's up, Lou?
Lou is my favorite writer other than me on the Freedom Fiends blog. I think I like him even better than you because you never write, Nima.
I haven't written anything in like a month, so.
Yeah, you're only as good as your last article. Yeah. And I don't remember your last article. It's been too long. So what's up there, Lou? Fish and hogs?
You guys are talking about one of my least favorite free market economists.
Freed market economists. Friedman.
Yeah. He is fueled by vinegar and water.
You're a smart guy.
Yeah, we were definitely bashing Milton Friedman. Go ahead and add some fuel to the fire then, because, I hate him, and I said why I hate him. Any other evil things he did that you
can
think of?
He's not around to defend himself, so go ahead.
Yeah.
There's a YouTube video that he did talking about the Great Depression.
Well, he didn't do a YouTube video, but somebody put something he did on YouTube.
Well, yeah. But anyway, he did this video explaining the Great Depression, and he was just humping the Federal Reserve's leg like it was going out of style, like a chihuahua on LSD.
Then
about 1 minute and 50 seconds into part three, he said the thing that made me turn the computer off completely. I had to do a disk cleanup and defragment when he called John John Maynard Keynes one of the greatest economists of all times.
Well, probably greatest in that has the most market share. That's like saying McDonald's makes the greatest hamburger ever.
Ah, nice analogy. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't think you can be free market and pro-Fed or pro-central banking in any form at the same time. I think they're mutually exclusive. I mean, a market's not free if its currency is centrally planned. That just seems like the most basic of basics, right?
Right. Well, the whole thing about a free market is you don't have a meddling third party getting in there screwing everything up.
Right. And if a meddling third party actually creates one half of every transaction and has complete control over it, i.e. the money, then it's not free at all. It's completely dependent on what they do with the money.
Yeah. Centrally controlled, centrally planned.
Yep.
It's amazing how capitalists love socialism.
Well, they love it because it helps keep out competition, right? I mean, the biggest interest, the biggest business interest, they can afford to do regulatory capture and influence the regulatory bodies and influence the Fed to do things in their favor. Whereas, you know, your average Joe startup can't do any of that and probably doesn't even want to get in any of these businesses because of all the hoops he has to jump through. Whereas the established interests have already jumped through the hoops and can get grandfathered in and can get people to turn the other way and can bribe regulators and all sorts of other horrible things.
Yeah. Or to shorten that up even more, there's two ways to make money in the market. You can provide a product that people like and they'll gladly buy, or option two, you can use your political connections to cripple the competition with regulations, licensing, mm-hmm. and taxes.
Yeah.
It's the American way.
The two ways of doing business, basically. The market way and the political way. The market means and the political means.
No guns on Sunday. That'd be a good name for a cast, too. Episode.
Yeah. A Sunday show.
But Friedman was also a big supporter of the school voucher program.
Yeah.
And with that, it's a false advertisement for having real choice.
He sounds like he's like – He came up with all the Republican ideas of the free market, which aren't really free market, but they sound like it to people who don't know better.
Yeah.
Right. It's false advertisement. You know, they say, well, here you have the school choice, but the schools are still funded by tax dollars. They're still, you know, paid for with those tax dollars. In order for a school to be accredited, it has to get the papal seal of approval from the state.
Papal.
So I mean,
papal.
It's the illusion of choice, as in you go to Burger King and you order a Whopper, and you don't want to get your Whopper from Jennifer, so they send Jane over to take your order. You're still getting the Whopper, and you're still getting it from Burger King.
Let's keep you on over the break for the archives. I'm enjoying this conversation.
Yeah.
Fiends.
Worms.
Worms. I think everybody should go out and buy the same audio setup we have so they can call in and go, worms. And I would get, you know, I'd use my Amazon link or our Amazon link. So,
yeah.
Well, I could just get like a really bad cell phone.
Yeah, you have pretty good sound for a cell phone. Hey, do you guys want to see some squirrel pictures? I'm going to upload these to...
You're obsessed with those damn squirrels.
Baby, they're baby squirrels. They're awesome.
Yeah, I guess baby squirrels are pretty awesome.
They are. They really are.
Well, Nemo, if you listen to Bad Quaker enough, you know that older gentlemen are more...
They love the creatures in their front yards for some reason.
If you listen to what? Where did you learn this? Free Talk
Ben
Live?
Ben Stone.
Oh.
No, Ben Stone. He's always talking about the birds he feeds and the squirrels
he
feeds.
Well, I think the older
too.
You get, the more people have disappointed you, so the more reliable animals seem.
Okay.
Unless it's a drug dog.
Ah.
Nice.
Because those are less than 50% in accuracy.
Yeah, and they want to kill our dogs. Cops kill our dogs, but want to have their dogs putting us in a cage.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so square. Hate those people.
Yep. I'm sorry, I was typing. Who do you hate?
Humans.
Kill all humans. I will destroy you. Sound like Morbo.
You can get drone for that. He was on this radio show saying he wanted to kill all humans.
He was doing it in the Morbo voice. Morbo
wants
know
the
to
Morbo
kill
voice. Because they are the Morbo voice, so they don't really recognize it.
Ah, is that it? Yeah. They can't see the forest from the trees.
Yeah.
So what do you guys think of Ben Stone trying to say we're not gonna call it Liberty Movement anymore, we're gonna call it the Liberty Mission?
I kinda like that. I'm religious about it. I tithe to at least 10% of my money into doing this.
Yeah, that's true. And also, movement does sound like, you know, what you do in
the
morning
poo.
After you wake up. Yeah.
Take a liberty poo.
And take a liberty movement.
Yeah. I'm gonna post that on Facebook. I just took a liberty movement.
the word mission makes it sound more like a definite destination where movement makes it sound like wandering around in circles, which essentially is what has been happening.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point too. That's a good point too.
Yeah,
but also though, is the mission clearly defined? Because also you could get into the trouble of, you know, like George Bush with the big mission accomplished thing in front of an aircraft carrier, and
I think a bunch of people,
that risk too.
16 million less people voted. I think that's mission accomplished, at least in the Bush sense.
No, in the Bush sense, yeah, he was just getting started.
They had accomplished a mission, and they he backpedaled on that, and I think he was kind of correct. It's kind of like the series of tubes was an accurate description thing. He said, I wasn't saying the war is over. I was saying that mission was accomplished, and that mission, whatever name they gave that particular day of tyranny, was done.
Yeah.
It's basically like saying it's Friday in war.
Yeah, he was basically talking about that particular naval vessel. I can't remember what the name was, but...
My liberty movement comes out of my naval vessel through my
gross. I think you need to see a doctor for that. Comes out of your naval vessel? Yeah, that's not.
I was trying to be funny. I was too busy looking at baby squirrel pictures, and I didn't really think it through.
Okay.
KQAK, the quack. You should do that. You should do that where you are, Lou. We'll talk later. Lou,
well, just I'm here. Just as long as it's not too technical.
Okay. I mean,
hell, I have a hard enough time just operating Facebook, it seems.
No, you do better than, I won't say other bloggers that I have to give more help to. and you can type a complete sentence and make a paragraph and a blog post. Basically, it comes down to, do you have $250 to spend on gear? But we'll talk later.
Yeah. Well, back when I was in
tax refund, use your tax refund for a Liberty radio station. That'd be a good meme.
Back when I was in the indoctrination camp for grown-ups, I was studying foreign languages, and one of the big things about studying a foreign language is you have to be good with your own language, meaning the grammar, punctuation, spelling, stuff like that. So I wound up in a situation where I would, I haven't done this in a long time, but I used to cross the German and the English all the time.
Yeah.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes. Follow twitter.com/fiendtorrents to grab the past episodes and new ones as they post. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents, while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding the Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down. That's twitter.com/fiendtorrents.
So, my bad mouthing of people I know went out live. We're not even paying attention anymore. And we're so spoiled by doing the uninterrupted Thursday 2-hour show that we're just not even paying attention to the breaks yet. They're playing our commercials, which is really our part.
Yeah. Guys.
We have a couple paid advertisers.
I don't know. We've been pretty good for most of the show. It's just this last break that we kind of flub because we were too busy talking to Lou. But
too busy posting pictures of my cat Peanut looking out the window at baby squirrels.
Yeah, I was too busy responding to somebody on Facebook.
Facebook is our chat room for this podcast.
It is. Me and a family member were going back and forth on Obama because he hates Obama, but I posted that photo that's been going around of the little Afghani kids that look like they could be my little brothers, and dead. They're saying, did you hear Americans just voted on whether the person firing drone missiles at us is a Democrat or a Republican, which I thought was a pretty nice little meme there. And
actually, though, the interesting thing is the person firing the missiles, it doesn't matter. I mean, if you're in the armed services, the president is literally your boss, your direct boss, you know. So
exactly, which I think is the point it's trying to make is, hey, it doesn't matter who's doing it.
I know from personal experience that a lot of people are complaining about soldiers' mail-in votes didn't get counted. I know from personal experience or secondhand experience from a family member, a lot of soldiers didn't vote. They didn't bother.
Good. I didn't care. Yeah, it's all the same boss. but yeah, somebody was like,
same as the old boss.
And this guy, this family member, he's very anti-Obama in most regards, but he was like, oh, do you really think that Obama sits back in his chair and says, okay, that one, that little kid, now shoot the child?
No.
And well, you know, at first I was like, no, I don't think he necessarily does that. But then I thought he has done that. I mean,
with
Google
that teenage kid, yeah,
with the 16-year-old kid, yeah. Google how do you say this? Abdurrahim Al-Awlaki, 16-year-old kid. Obama literally did that. He pointed at that kid and said, "Kill him."
I understand that the president has the moral responsibility when the CIA or the military goes out and does something, especially such a targeted high level, you know, target rich target kind of person. But did Obama have direct input on that? I know he did on his dad, right?
Yeah, I mean, because isn't that how Eric Holder justified it? He says, well, there was due process because the president looked at it and made the call, and that's
what
enough
about
for
the kid,
due process.
Though?
I guess I don't know about the kid.
A week or two later.
Yeah, yeah.
Who killed him? Was it the CIA or the Army or the Air Force?
It was a drone strike, so it must have been the CIA, right?
Well, no, the military has drones and the CIA have drones. And
it was in Yemen, so I kind of think that all the CIA stuff probably happens in Yemen.
Yeah,
since
the military use of drones is kind of more documented, at least after the fact, than the CIA stuff. The CIA stuff, even it's like not even known everything they're doing or where they're doing it or what they've done.
Right. But anyway, yeah, the second point of that you sort of brought up is the president is sort of morally responsible if he doesn't stop the policy that incinerates
little
kids.
I mean, the president,
even if he's not pointing out little kids.
I think the president is responsible for every drug bust and every person killed in war
because he could stop it
tomorrow. Mm-hmm. He literally could do a sign. You know, he loves those executive orders. He could do one to end the drug war. He could do one to, and I'm not saying that's something people should try to get him to do. He'll never do it. No president will ever do that. They're too profitable. Right. But the fact that he doesn't do that, which Ron Paul would have done on day one, literally, you know, the fact that presidents don't do that makes them responsible for every death and every bust.
Well, let's go back to the kid for a second. My understanding is the kid got hit a week or two later.
Yeah.
What was the whole purpose of that?
Make sure that he wasn't carrying out his dad's mission, I guess.
I think it was so that he couldn't sue the government. I think it was so that he would keep his mouth shut, you know, dead men tell no tales kind of things.
Because
he would have grown up to have fought that either, legally in America through legal means, which he probably would have failed. Or, I mean, if you're 16 and you kill my dad with a drone strike, I'd probably become a terrorist.
A lot of 16-year-olds don't like their dad. It depends if it was that week or two where you're
rebelling. No, even if you don't like your dad and you're like, I want to move out, you don't want the government to kill him with a Hellfire missile. Yeah. I mean, your rebellion, I don't think, ever goes that far for most people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Dad, can I use the camel this weekend? No. fuck you.
There's probably a couple months when I was 16 and I wasn't speaking with my dad, but if someone had killed him, I would have been damn upset.
Yeah.
Hey, have you guys seen the article? If you do a Google search, it's Anwar al-Awlaki dined at the Pentagon.
He did?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Really?
No, I'll have to check
that
out.
And yeah, and that's the thing. Like, historically, there's a really bad precedent for being a friend of the United States. I mean, look at all the pictures of people that have been killed by the United States taken 20 years ago of them shaking hands with the president or the, you know, Secretary of State.
Or months ago in the case of the Libya guy. Oh, what's his name?
Gaddafi.
Yeah, months ago for him.
Yeah.
Not even a year. Yeah. So anyway, the good thing about arguing with a Republican about Obama's foreign policy is he ended up saying, well, I'm not going to keep sticking up for him. Like, okay, fine. We can both bash Obama. And then he goes on to say, I think we can both agree he's an anti-colonialist Marxist trying to destroy the country. I say, well, I think he's a pro-colonialist Marxist trying to destroy the country.
Yeah.
I guess we can agree with most of the sentence.
Yeah, one of those
everybody likes their own colonialism.
My colonialism can beat up your colonialism.
It's like your own farts, right? They like their own brand.
There's a meme going around of it says, half my friends hate Obama, half my friends hate Romney. My only goal is to get my friends to agree.
To agree with each other. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Hey, guys, I'm going to get going. I'm getting a bad signal on the phone.
All right. It's good talking to you, man.
All right. Yeah.
Take care.
Peace out, Lou.
Worms.
Worms.
Good timing.
All right. Very good times. We got...
Turn up a little bit, Nima. You got quiet.
Sure,
again.
Sure. Well, I'm going to just talk closer to the mic. Oh, yeah. We've got our good. Final bit of The Fiends coming up.
We can't hear you in Ohio when you're that quiet. It's a long way
to go. It's an Ohio thing.
The tri-yard area.
Right. More Fiends coming up.
Morphine for the status soul. That's a good title.
It is.
Did your world collapse when Ron Paul didn't win?
No.
Don't keep hoping for some great man to fix. Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
Six drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies!
Jesus.
On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadavi.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
Some news you can use. When you order any products from Shure, if there's a lot of bootlegs out there, Chinese bootlegs or not bootlegs, but counterfeits. Order them from
how do you combat that?
Order them from a reputable dealer and don't buy them at deep discount, because like Apple, they have agreements where you can't sell them at significantly below and still be a dealer. So buy
what
it
about
from
Amazon, direct from Amazon?
What I would
like
do is
not a third-party seller, but from Amazon, like shipped and sold by Amazon?
Maybe. But what I would just probably buy it. I mean, they're going to be $99 no matter what, you know, maybe $95.
Okay.
But
we got 5 seconds.
I would buy it from Musician's Friend.
Ah, okay.
Because they're not going to have boots.
And I believe we're back. Musician's Friend, or what do you think about Zounds? I bought my DJ 9000 from Zounds, and I really liked dealing with them because they've got the play-as-you-pay deal, which is zero interest, but breaks it up into payments with no credit check. And I think that's a really good...
Now you're too loud.
Well, okay. How's that?
Good.
I think that's a really good market niche to fill because musicians probably aren't known for having the best credit scores. But they still need gear, and they need it now.
They have girlfriends and wives. They haven't ruined their credit score yet.
Right.
Speaking of girlfriends and wives, we had some technical problems on the last episode. Do you want to talk about the causes of those?
I think we talked about them on the last episode.
No, we didn't. You didn't figure it out till later. Your wife unplugged your router.
I knew that she had unplugged the modem. We talked about that on the cast. Yeah, the internet just like died on me. Like Mumble, Michael got grayed out. I couldn't communicate with him anyway. I was like, oh crap. I was like, I hope that's not from me not paying my internet bill. Which it wasn't. You know, we're not even behind.
Pay that before I pay my gas bill, man. It's
nice.
I'd rather freeze. You know, bundled up burning firewood using the internet.
I always have problem with internet bills because for some reason the people they outsource to never get my information correct. So sometimes I don't get a bill, and then when I do, it's like a completely different name, and I call them, and they never get my email address right, so I can't communicate them. I can't log on. Like they have me as Mimna Vidadni. Is my name, and I don't know what they have my email address as, but if they have my name as Mimna Vidadni, I doubt they have my correct email address. I can't log on and pay my bill.
They have you as DJ Library.
Library.
You're loud again now. You're loud. Well, I'll turn up for those people in Ohio listening.
Okay.
So, you know, we're going to have a thing coming up soon here where we're going to encourage people to spend their tax refund on a micro transmitter FM radio station, which is legal if you stay within certain criteria, or if you're not in the United States, and a lot of our listeners are not. So
But anyway, the wife accidentally unplugged the modem, which is not good for doing live internet radio, obviously. And before that, I was sounding horrible, like you couldn't hear. Every other syllable was like cut off, and that was
it was because baby doll was using Netflix.
If you're doing live internet radio, don't let anybody in the house watch Netflix.
Or download large files. I mean, they could be emailing Hulu, or maybe surfing the web, but not doing any media stuff.
Yeah,
you need
yeah,
all the media
not.
Pipe. So yeah. To and you said you were going to trick her. You were going to unplug the. You couldn't just ask her not to.
No, I did. I did. That'll probably be sufficient. Yeah,
because you said she couldn't figure out how to use the hook the PlayStation back up. I'm thinking like, I don't know, man. Wives could be pretty resourceful.
They can be, except when they get a husband to do everything all the time. So I don't know if she's actually that. She could probably figure it out, but she acts like she can't. So that I'll do all that kind of work. Like with pumping gas, it's the same thing with wives. Like they don't want to pump their gas. So they
really, my
like
wife
they
pumps the
how.
Gas and drives.
Mm. Oh
I
yeah,
just, I just
yeah,
sit I back and stroke the guns. My wife yeah, likes to drive, though, and I don't like to drive, and she's a better driver than me. And, you know, I forgot to say on the cast where someone was accusing me of rampant consumerism for, like, having a lot of guns. I could have my own car, but my wife
would rather have lots of guns.
I'd rather have lots of guns and microphones and yeah. fun stuff and art supplies for reaching the world from the bedroom. So I don't have a car, you know, and it's an inconvenience about four times a year. Like, I have to take a taxi to go to a dental appointment or something, but... you know, I've given up the convenience of being a two-car family so I can...
Casper's also a small town and you used to be a bike courier, so yeah. And you've got a bike. So you've got your transportation.
Yeah, most of the stuff's bikeable, but, you know, I'm not in that good shape anymore. And, but most of it is bikeable. I mean, I can bike to the store. I can bike to the post office, but I never do because I can't bring my gun in and I can't leave it on my bike. So I only go there when I'm driving so I can leave the gun in the car.
Oh yeah, it's like a felony to carry your gun into a post office, isn't it?
Yeah, which is intriguing. We've talked about the irony of that because like 95 or higher percent of all shootings that have ever occurred in post offices have been postal workers.
Yeah,
going postal.
Right. Where the term comes from, obviously.
Yeah. So you're going to talk about this this Fox News thing, and people say, I don't believe it's on Fox News, but it is true. It's Al-Qaeda leader dined at the Pentagon just months after 9/11, which I think it's interesting that Fox put this on here because that kind of makes Bush look bad, really. And Fox is not known for that. So I believe this.
Maybe it was one night when they weren't not watching Napolitano and he posted it.
When they were what?
When they weren't watching Judge Napolitano and he posted it. It says it was by Catherine Herridge, whoever that is.
Some neocon. Supposed to be good for you.
Published October 20th, 2010, FoxNews.com. Exclusive. Al-Qaeda leader dined at the Pentagon just months after 9/11. This is, of course, Anwar.
She is an American Homeland Security correspondent for Fox News. You don't get to do that without being a statist F.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But earlier we were talking about the son of Anwar al-Awlaki, who was a 16-year-old kid, American citizen, killed in a drone strike after his dad was killed in a drone strike, in a separate strike. He wasn't collateral damage. He was the target. And so apparently his dad, and let's go ahead and read some of this
I just
Fox
sent you
News.
A picture of this author, Catherine Harris, broadcasting live from Guantanamo Bay.
Let's get a look at her.
So she's not some outsider. She looks like Paper Joan kind of.
Yeah, I was going to say that. She looks like Paper Joan. She's not a hairdo, so she
Paper
must
Joan,
know
Paper Joan things. Really looks like, yeah, Paper Joan really looks like someone who would cock block talking about Ron Paul, isn't she?
Yeah, she also looks like Janet Napolitano, the bad Napolitano.
Yeah.
Anyway, so according to Catherine Herridge in Fox News, Anwar al-Awlaki may be the first American on the CIA's killer capture list. Oh, so this was before he got droned. But he was also a lunch guest of military brass at the Pentagon within months of September 11th, 2001 terror attacks, Fox News has learned.
The moral of the story is the government is not your friend. If they're your friend, they will kill you.
They will kill you. Yeah. Don't go shake hands with the president. That's the other moral of a story, because then you're more likely to die. At least if you're brown, don't shake hands with the president, because when push comes to shove, he could kill you at some point. All right. Should we go on about Anwar?
You should look at the last link I just sent you and then click through the pictures of the baby squirrels, because I'm going to be posting them. So
the baby squirrel, but the audience can't see the baby squirrels.
They can if they're on Facebook. And really, I mean, if you're a Freedom Fiend fan and you're not my friend on Facebook, which doesn't make you my friend, but it makes you my friend on Facebook because they've repurposed and perverted that word. You know, be my friend on Facebook and you can look at pictures of squirrels and baby squirrels.
They look huge. What do you mean baby squirrels? Those are fat squirrels. You fatten them.
Keep going. There's not all of these. There's an adult here and then a couple babies. The one with Peanut. Squirrels. The one with Peanut. The first one I sent you, you can see that they're baby squirrels because Peanut's way a little cat and he's way bigger than them. But he's looking out the wrong window.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. They still look pretty big to me. But
Chris Ray Holly says, I always feel free after a liberty movement.
Me too.
Yeah.
And then after my liberty movement, I'm ready for my liberty mission because you know, I feel much lighter.
You have to clear out some space with a liberty movement, then you can go on your liberty mission.
Exactly.
Isn't that what young Mormons do? Go on a liberty mission? No, they go on a no guns on Sunday mission.
Yeah, yeah. They go on an establishment mission.
Yeah, screw but it's that. A voluntary establishment.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It is. I mean, there is one of their quote-unquote articles of faith that says you should obey all government laws always. But
which is really weird for a religion that like went to physical war with the federal government.
That was banned by the government.
And that like really Utah territory was a lot bigger. The government took the parts with the best silver and gold and left the Mormons what was left. Seriously.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know much about the history of that particular article of faith. I'm definitely not a scholar of Mormonism, but that might be interesting to look into. Like was it written after the fact? Like was it written, you know, 20 years ago when they were trying to, you know, pony up to the federal government and be like,
maybe it was, yeah, like, okay, now that we,
or I guess more at the turn of the 1900s, like maybe they were trying to say, hey, you know, we're going to forbid polygamy and we'll write this awesome article of faith that says, you know, all our people should submit to you and bow before the God of statism as well as Heavenly Father.
Really quick, did you see, I mean, we don't even have time to get into the like gun grabbing that Obama and Feinstein did in their first 48 hours in the next session, but did you hear about some executive order Obama passed that basically says all your stuff is belong to us? Like he passed something that said, you know, in the middle of the night the other day that said, you know, everything owned in America is owned by the government if we need to in an emergency.
I thought he already did that like other times too.
Well, somebody, they actually did that in like 1924, but or 26. Yeah. Well, that's been a good theme, man, but we'll have more
themes. Same statism, different day, I guess. But we can talk more about it in our coming show. Go to freedomfiends.com. Check us out, man, if you're listening for the first time. We are awesome, as you've just witnessed.
Yeah.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.